That's what I'm being told. He's dealt with this before. It just takes some time to get back. The thing that makes me a little bit at ease with that situation is his, you know, his rapport with Josh. And Khalil is such a professional that I don't worry at all about his hunger to return or his ability to find ways to get himself back and up to speed as quickly as possible.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on Khalil Shakir, who's wearing a boot, a walking boot with a high ankle sprain. Camp is over. Now on to practice at One Bills Drive and a game tomorrow. Last preseason game ever. Share your preseason Highmark memories. Ooh. The greatest preseason Highmark. Is that a thing we could actually try to do?
I remember... Yeah, I mean, I would have gone to a bunch. I remember being at the Vince Young preseason game where he looked great and they got cut. Remember that?
Yep.
Great, maybe a little. I'm giving him a lot of credit. But he got cut probably because they didn't want a quarterback controversy between him and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I remember being at the Matt Leinart, Thad Lewis preseason game. Leinart played the worst football game I've ever seen in my life. But it was preseason. He probably showed up that week, I'm assuming. Preseason memories.
I've got one. Boy, I mean, there's like EJ games, there's Josh games, there's Lossman games, there's preseason.
Those Edwards years, there's never anybody really interesting playing quarterback, right? Not that I remember.
The one that I always go
back
to.
Brian Brom, probably.
The Bills used to play the Lions in the preseason every year.
Yes.
Every year.
Yeah.
And there was a game at the stadium. Boy, I mean, is it even worth the search? Probably not.
Let's hear it. How hard would it be?
What the memory is, they lost to the Lions. It might have been a tie, and it might have been a loss, low scoring, like 13-12. And it's kids' day. They have the ball late.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of just run out the clock, down by a point, the Bills.
Okay.
And while you don't want them, you don't care if they win or lose a game in the preseason.
Yeah. Do you remember the coaches?
I think it's Jerron.
It's Jerron?
I think it's Jerron. And I feel like they just kind of ran out the clock with the ball rather than try to finish off the game, which in my younger days I would have been upset. Well, let's try and win, like whatever. And now I think every snap where nobody gets hurt is a good outcome. So
that's right, but
I know.
The kids, and also it's not like you would be pulling into a tie. Like if you were down three,
it might.
Like,
I don't remember
desperately for the field goal. I get that, but if you're down one,
I don't remember that. I also don't remember the preseason does not have overtime. That's why last night we saw a tie. I don't remember if that's always been the case, or if that's something that they just decided kind of recently. Like, no, nobody wants overtime here, guys. We'll just call it a tie.
Right, I mean, but if one was the deficit, then you're not at risk of that.
It might have been one was the deficit, and they just kind of ran out the clock.
So then you could just kick a field goal.
No, they just ran out the clock.
No, I know. You could have kicked a field goal.
Yes, you could have done anything.
Or tried to kick
other
a field
than
goal.
Just, eh, let's all just go home. It's kind of late. That's one memory I've got of the preseason. Other than that, I mean, what? Jordan Palmer play here for a minute?
Okay, it wasn't one. I think it was eight. I think they were down eight. I got a 14-6 Jerron Bills preseason game at home where the Bills get the ball with 2:31 left. They go run with 2:31 down to the 2-minute warning. Run on the 45-yard line down to 1:17.
Gotcha. So they're running out the clock. They're playing like
run, game over.
They're playing like
they got the ball with 2:31 left at about midfield down eight. And they ran the ball four times in game over.
Yeah. Like almost like they were up 14-6.
Yeah. Now see, that's this one little more defendable. Sure. With the fans in the crowd still, maybe you should give it a shot. But if you're down eight, it's like, guys, the best we could do here is tie it and then we're going to overtime and nobody wants that.
Reps. You get live reps.
You do get reps.
Anyway. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Have a poll up on Twitter. We kind of got to today because we watched, you know, the Ravens last night of the preseason, saw the Bengals last night in the preseason as well. And the question on the poll, if you want to chime in on the phone lines or wherever, is which of the AFC other teams, not in the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, is the most likely to be the party crasher that joins the group. Chargers, who are starting their chargering early, which is like being unlucky. Their left tackle out for the year. Chargers, Broncos. I do see the Broncos getting an awful lot of love right about now.
Yes.
Their defense is going to be legitimately great. And if Bo Nix takes a step from where he was, which was good, kind of game manager guy that runs.
Like
that,
yeah.
That was Bo Nix. Short throws, game manager guy that runs.
Yeah.
And if he takes a step with a great defense, they could be, you know, worth keeping an eye on.
A great defense. It's kind of interesting they are getting this much love, and I love them too, from just their defensive roster and their offensive line is a lot of it. Like, hey, in the trenches, this team should be awesome. Because honestly, skill position-wise, not that exciting.
The Broncos?
No.
Cortland Sutton's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
They drafted a running
back.
Who's
next? Who's the next name to mention?
Marvin Mims.
Marvin Mims, who's like a role player,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's not loaded with – it's Troy Franklin, who didn't do much in his first season. I'm looking at their depth chart, and Trent Sherfield is next on that list.
Old
like,
friend.
There's really not much going on
You're
there.
They're selling on Evan Engram. They added Evan Engram this
right,
year.
Right, like, okay. R.J. Harvey, rookie, Dobbins, like – It's the belief for me is quarterback looked good in year one, awesome O-line, awesome defense, and Sean Payton's going to get the skill position players playing better than maybe they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Right? Like the coach will get enough out of that offense, even if they don't have like all pros at wide receiver, tight end, and running back.
803-0550 to join us in 1-888-550-2550. Jeff and Clarence on this, we'll call it a Football Friday. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Good morning, boys. So yesterday we were having the In Theory conversation. So a bunch of my buddies, we all got new season tickets and paid the PSLs. And we're like, all right, would you sell the home opener of your first game in the Bills Stadium if you could get enough money to recoup all your PSLs? And we were all saying, heck yeah, we would.
Yeah.
Like, but they were saying, all right, how much would next year's preseason game, the actual first game in the new stadium, how much could those tickets go for people who are trying to recoup their PSL money? And it was a pretty, it was one of those funny, just kind of like sitting around. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm like, oh, that's a good question.
Yep. Jeff, I
this is great.
I thought about this. I mean, I've picked up a pair of seats in the new stadium. I have my season tickets in the current stadium. I finally had my meeting. I went through, and we talked about this with Pete Guelli yesterday about the PSLs and price points for everybody. He had said, now, you know, the early announcement was $50,000 for this club, the private areas,
mm-hmm.
and people might have freaked out. And then there's another group that's $20,000, then $15,000, and then $10,000. And he said they're down to $1,000 for PSLs,
yep.
for some of the seats.
Yep.
And I got the impression he even said there's more coming. So they might even drop below $1,000 when you get far enough into the end zones, maybe in the upper deck. We'll see. I don't know if the entire stadium has been mapped for that yet. But I did definitely have this thought, which was, like, I'll just be honest. I've never thought of the idea of you buy a PSL and it has value because you can sell it back. That, to me, has never been something that I think is legit. Like, I know you can. There's a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm buying something that is for 30 years, in 10 years, why would it possibly sell for more? When it's a 20-year agreement. And then by then, Josh Allen's retired. Like, right now is the time to be there, right? Fair? So, on the flip side of that, though, I did think, would the games in the first couple years, if you wanted to decide to recoup some costs because, you know, you can't go to all of them, they're all prime time,
mm-hmm.
will there be a ticket secondary market bump because, A, every seat's going to have a PSL, right? So every seat mm-hmm. is going to be owned by somebody. They're trying to get – it's one of the reasons they build a smaller stadium – get brokers out. This is what we're told.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea would be that more people would have – those tickets, and they're kind of just locked up. So with the second, yeah. with the secondary market, just overall, like Jeff is mentioning, the first game in that stadium, would the entire secondary market be boosted for 2 to 3 years because people will want to come and see it? You're going to have Bills fans that, I don't know, live in Charlotte, live in Cleveland, live in Missouri, and they're not going to get a seat in the stadium for the whole year all the time, so they're going to make their trips.
Right.
And I don't know the whole how the economics of it ultimately will play out, but to your point, Jeff, like I had a similar thought. I had a similar, you know, if the opener next year is like a, you know, a Monday night game against so-and-so, what would that go for? First game in the stadium. And your point about the preseason.
Yeah.
Are preseason tickets still going for $4? Or is it like what?
No, not next year.
Right. What's today? Can you get in the stadium for $1 today? Or tomorrow, sorry? A 1 o'clock preseason.
I don't know if the sites let you go that low.
Okay.
If they did, I bet it would be close though. At least $5 probably.
I see the cheapest seat is $28 right now, which seems like
really
insane.
Yeah. Second, and that's the secondary market?
Yeah.
$28.
$28 for the preseason game.
Really? Is it a sellout tomorrow?
Well, I guess here's a question to ask. Are people already doing their goodbyes? Are there 3,000 people at that game tomorrow saying, this is the one I can get to? It's cheap. It's August.
Maybe. $28.
$28 for the cheapest seat on Schmub. Usually that number is 4.
Right.
And it's $28 for the cheapest seat.
Uh-huh. That could be a sign already that it's different.
That it's happening.
Yeah.
That your goodbye tour is happening.
And that would be true. There will be some people. I mentioned this to Tasker, I think. Like, every game is going to be somebody's last game in the stadium. And that would probably be true tomorrow, too.
Yeah. For a lot of kids.
For some fans, for some kids, will be their last time in that stadium.
For a lot of kids. I wonder if anybody out there has thought about the Kids' Day game, like, next year. As we're bringing up this point, if it's $28 for this one, for the cheapest seat, what's the cheapest seat to next year's preseason game?
$100.
Is it?
Right.
I don't know.
Is it a sellout?
I think so. You get that fancy new stadium open for the first time ever, get to watch, you know, from your whatever. I think it could be something that season
flushes. That really would be, like, next year's preseason game for, like, if I were a fan buying a ticket to that game, I don't even know if I'd watch the game. Would you just, tour? Hey, $100, and I'm just going to walk around the whole thing.
Yeah, map the place.
I'm just going to look at everything. Yeah, map where I am. This view's cool. This bar here. And, oh, what's going on? Shane Buechel is throwing passes out there on the field. I'm good. I don't need to see that at the moment.
Yep. Have three people that have written in that the current lowest PSL is $750.
Yep.
400 end zone, 750. That's a far cry from the 50 grand start.
Yeah, for sure.
And a slow rollout, he'd said. Pete Guelli, speaking with us yesterday, said they're about 80% full for the stadium. So if they're into the 400 end zones, which that's a seat that doesn't exist right now, right?
No, it doesn't.
The closest you've got is
the upper decks don't go that all the way around.
Are the 200s. And below the Jumbotron and below the Wall of Fame,
right?
You don't have an upper deck end zone seat in the current stadium. So that's kind of a new spot. And for people that are still able to get them, $750 for that PSL. And the season ticket price is another thing here. Like, that's something else to factor into anybody's purchase. Like, if you're going to go get your PSL, like, all right, then what's my yearly price? And your seat, it might just be your seat jumped a lot in PSL. Might be your seat is also a lot more expensive per game.
Yeah.
And that might have been part of the process that was frustrating or maddening for a lot of people. Was, I love my seat. Can I afford to keep my seat? Or do I have to go somewhere else? Because we're all moving into a new house and the real estate prices of the seats have changed. So I used to sit on the 42 and now I'm sitting on the 18. Like, that might have happened for a lot of people. John in Lockport. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to tell you guys about my favorite preseason memory at the Ralph. It was 2009, the year we had T.O. We had season tickets, and it was Kids Day versus the Chicago Bears, I think. And Food Network was here with Guy Fieri before he became, like, real big. He had a small show on the Food Network, like tailgating something. And it was him and the Wing King. And they were doing some tailgating thing, and I had to sign a waiver. And I actually got on the Food Network for about 3 seconds.
Wow. Okay.
Guy Fieri was here for a preseason game, huh?
Yep. It was. I forgot what the name of the show was, but it was a small, like, tailgating show on the Food Network. didn't last long, maybe like three episodes.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
He did fine, apparently, I think, though.
It was his preseason, too.
Yeah.
He really flashed.
He bounced back.
He showed the executives some skill.
Yeah.
And he caught on. Preseason memories. This is the last preseason game.
All the ones
game.
I can think of are on the road.
That's because, I don't know. I tend to feel like, the same way, but I don't know why I think that.
Josh's first preseason game here.
Josh's first
throws the ball 70 yards, yes. But it's out of bounds by 20.
70 yards.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of, it was a moment. Like,
Did they even tell him, like, hey, just go out there. Like, the fans are waiting to see you.
Throw it as far as you can.
Don't worry about where it's going. Just chuck it as far as you can possibly throw it. And he basically did that.
He did. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to join us.
Even, like, big performances, like those Christian Wade plays are both on the road, aren't they?
Carolina?
Carolina is one of them. There was two of them. I forgot what the other one was.
I got one for
although
you.
Although maybe Carolina is here again. Like I don't remember where what's home, what's road. Other than I know the McCarron comeback is on the road, and EJ telling the Browns fans to be quiet is also on the road. Clearly,
was it the other Antonio Brown that you are? The Bills help me out with this. The Bills had a guy who returned a couple of kicks for touchdowns. If Chris Brown's listening, he'll get this. It might be Antonio Brown. He returned a couple kicks for touchdowns in the preseason. This is way back, though. I feel like it. The reason I want to say Antonio Brown is because it's a receiver, kick returner, who had the same name as an actually star-level receiver of the same name.
Okay.
I think it's Antonio Brown. But anyway, the point is he might have made the team by returning two kicks for touchdowns in the preseason. This is far enough back. Like, what years did Antonio Brown play? Was there enough crossover? There probably was.
Antonio Brown's probably what, like 2010 to 2020?
Yeah, it feels like it was. He was 2002, undrafted 2002.
Okay.
So
the good Antonio Brown was 2010 to 2021.
Okay. This is the guy. 2002 undrafted guy, Antonio Brown. Played for the Bills and the Washington Redskins at the time. Played college football, West Virginia. In the preseason with the Bills, he played all 16 games during his rookie year, 2003. He was waived on 2004. But he definitely had two kick returns for touchdowns in the preseason. At least one, maybe two. How am I supposed to remember this stuff? What am I doing? What am I doing myself?
It's not the easiest thing to look up, I would say, anyway.
No, you want to know what's very difficult
to look? The furthest you could go back on ESPN to find preseason games is 2003. You go back to 2003, and I can tell you that they lost 37-24 to the Titans. I can tell you who played in that game.
Yeah.
How about, here you go, how about a preseason game at home against St. Louis in 2003 where, man, how much were they Drew Bledsoe in this preseason game. Who's the coach in 2003? Is that Greg Williams?
2003.
Or are we on to malarkey at that point?
Bledsoe.
Let me just tell you Bledsoe's stat line. Maybe that'll help you for who. Bledsoe goes 22 of 29 for 231 yards and two touchdowns. The Bills' starting quarterback, who was, 35 years old and was established in the league through 30 passes? Has Josh Allen thrown 30 preseason passes in the last 7 years?
Yes.
Like non-rookie year. Rookie year he would have had it. Do you think since his rookie year he's thrown 30 passes in the preseason?
Rookie year he was busy not winning the quarterback competition.
What a joke. That's what the preseason should be. The preseason should be remembered forever as the type of season, the type of process where Nathan Peterman can win a quarterback competition against Josh Allen.
It's worth pointing out, maybe they thought, let's just slow play him here a little bit. We don't have to right? Like it could have been that
it was over by halftime.
No, but I'm saying, yes, Josh is the guy that we should play, but maybe we want to wait like 3-4 weeks to do it. Mental reps. So Peterman's their opening day starter, and of course that did not last.
No, it lasted two quarters.
That's right.
It lasted two quarters.
It did not last. Yeah. Joe Burrow last night played.
And looked good, but he should have looked good, right?
Yes, he should have looked good.
Like, hey, throw the ball in the general vicinity of Ja'Marr Chase over there, and it probably is going to go well. Like, the touchdown he threw was like a 9-yard pass that Chase just turned up inside and ran the distance with. So, yeah, he looked great, though.
Looked really good. We've got to get your fantasy finds and fantasy fades on yesterday's games and see if anything came out of it. Like, I don't know if you noticed Ashton Gentry's stat line.
He had negative yardage.
Oh, I feel like he's got to drop a spot in the draft.
Negative yardage.
3 carries for negative 1 yard with a long of 3. So he had 1 run for 3 yards.
Yep.
And the next 2 lost yardage.
Yeah. I mean, from yesterday, nobody really stood out among the like lower level guys. Because nothing's going to change about Chase. Nothing's going to change about Burrow. I would have told you if Richardson had a good game yesterday that he should be on your radar. Because if he's starting, he doesn't have to be good. If he's starting, he's good in fantasy because of all the rushing. But now he's hurt, and that makes that trickier now. So from yesterday, yeah, let me see if I could find one that really stood out to me from last night. Because off the top of my head, all the guys that stood out were guys that won't change. Gentry won't change. Chase won't change. Burrow won't change. There was nothing in the Seattle game.
Torrey Horton.
Didn't he have like 9 targets?
He had 7 targets.
7 targets.
Yeah.
But how many? He caught 3?
3. Targets are earned, Joe.
I guess.
Anyway.
You know what I'll do? I'm going to find you. There had to be a third string running back that stood out somewhere.
That's
worth keeping in the back of your mind.
I've got for the Raiders last night, Chris Collier, 9 for 42.
There you go.
There's your guy.
Chris Collier.
Raheem Mostert showed up for 1 carry, 11 yards.
There you go. Nice.
Mostert's whole career is just give me the ball. I'm fast. I'll put up numbers.
Right.
1 carry, 11 yards. I mean, listen, the Raiders running back room last night is a fantasy football Mount Rushmore, waiver wire, Mount Rushmore. It's Dylan Laube, Raheem Mostert, Sincere McCormick, Zamir White. All 4 of them carried the ball last night.
Yeah.
In addition to Gentry and Aiden O'Connell.
Yep.
Any other random
appearances? I got a guy.
Oh, Justin Shorter.
Oh, he plays tight end now, I think.
Justin Shorter, 2 catches, 11 yards.
I think he actually does play tight end now. Not kidding. The guy for fantasy that played well last night, I saw this last night, because he had a big run, he had a touchdown, Keaton Mitchell in Baltimore.
Yep.
He was a nice prospect, he just hasn't stayed healthy. Like, he's missed like 20 games in his first 2 seasons, and he looked really good last night. And he's behind Henry, but I think he could get over Justice Hill and be like the change of pace guy in Baltimore.
We'll check in on Cincinnati when we get back. Joe Goodberry on the Bengals and their decision to play Joe Burrow in the preseason because they want to start faster. Bengals are also winning our poll of which of the outside teams in the top 3 in the AFC is most likely to get in that group. Bengals, Broncos, Chargers. I put the Patriots in there as the 4th. Could have been the Steelers. Somebody said you should have put the Dolphins or the Texans in there. I don't agree, but whatever. Who's the team you think is going to jump in to Bills, Ravens, Chiefs land, if you've got one? 803-0550 on that. On the Bengals next, and Chris Brown previews the first preseason game with us coming up at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
And certainly not up to the face. Late blitz coming. Burrow finds his man, and Ja'Marr Chase is going to coast into the end zone. They beat the blitz with a quick throw from Joe Burrow, and the Bengals score once again in their second possession.
Bengals and Eagles last night. Joe Burrow was sharp. Bengals decided to play him more in the preseason than years past, looking for a bit of a better start to their regular season. Joe Goodberry joins us on the Wester Hotline. He of Bengals on the Brain. We chat every once in a while on Cincinnati, all things Bengals. Joe, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time. How did you enjoy preseason game number 1?
Well, a little bit nerve-wracking because, like you said, Burrow has not played in the preseason, whether it's due to his rookie year, COVID year, there was no preseason, or immediately following that, recovering from injuries, whether it was the knee or the appendectomy or the calf or the wrist. He's never really played. Last year, he played a drive. He had a couple of throws, and that was it. And he just, once week 1 came around, he wasn't ready. And this is the case for the Bengals and people have put it on Zach Taylor a lot, but if you look at Joe Burrow's stats in the first couple of weeks in September every year, they're very, very average. And we're talking about a team that if Burrow's not playing at the MVP level, well, then the team's not going to be very good. So it's good to see him look ready last night. I was nervous because I'm still always nervous about him getting hit or the offensive line not looking good. But at the same time, they got out of it. And I think they're supposed to play their starters again next week versus the Commanders. So I'll be crossing my fingers for another hour or so when that approaches.
Yeah, that's my next question. If you think that he did enough in this game, 9 of 10, 123, 2 touchdowns. If your mission is, hey, let's see if he looks like he's ready. He certainly looked ready. And the way you just kind of painted that picture, the other absences from the preseason would have all had legitimate reasons, right? Recovering from an injury. So you feel like they're walking a tightrope here a little bit to make sure that they, I don't know, satisfy whatever it is they're looking to satisfy. But if he was ready last night, why wouldn't he be ready in a month?
I agree. And I think they just had so much pressure put on them about starting slow. And it's legit, right? You can't start slow in the AFC, especially if you're wanting the one seed, if you want to make the playoffs as they haven't the last 2 years. But again, I think it's just a little misguided because there's a balance. You have to get your guys ready, but at the same time, you want to be healthy. Zach Taylor's gotten some criticism for maybe going a little bit light, a little bit soft in camp to make sure they get to week one healthy. And they typically end the season really strong because they're a team that gets better throughout, but they also have stayed relatively healthy in their good years, other than Burrow. So I think the plan is smart to be ready for December, January, and so on, but you have to start fast or else you're going to miss the playoffs. So I do think there's a balance. There's one play in particular last night that was called back due to a holding, or it was a tripping, I believe, or an incidental. The offensive line went down. Doesn't matter. It was one play in particular where I thought, oh, Joe Burrow's ready to go. And it was a play where it was a quick throw to the left. The tight end falls down. So he holds the ball. He resets himself in the pocket, bounces back in the pocket, evades the rush, casually strolls to the right. He's looking for someone to get open. I'm thinking in my head, just throw it away. It's preseason. You saw the flag. But he doesn't. As the rush is coming to him, he just finds Jamar Chase back in the end zone on the run, throws it, flips it out on an off-script play and a broken play. And those are the things that are always missing for him in the first half of the season. His pocket presence, his ability to avoid sacks and create plays off script. One of the things when he was coming out of LSU, everyone was like, oh my God, look at this guy create magic in the pocket. It's something that usually takes half a season for him to get there. And I think it's largely because he's been injured or hasn't played in preseason. He said he needs to feel the hits. He needs to feel the actual rush, not just the practice rush where guys are pulling up, 3 yards away from him. So to see that already in a first preseason game, that's the underrated play that got me excited.
Joe Goodberry with us. Other storylines, Joe, from camp and that would have bled into the game last night. Shamar Stewart played last night after his contract holdout not being there for the whole offseason.
Yeah, he played 18 snaps. He got one rep with the first team defense. They're slowly rotating him in. That first rep was at defensive tackle. The Bengals in camp so far have moved him from left defensive end to right defensive end to defensive tackle. They have what they call a NASCAR package where it's four defensive ends out there. And he goes to defensive tackle, and he's played some end in practice as well, but that's what that was. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a win as a right defensive end going against Eagles backups for a hit on the quarterback. There was also a play where they left him unblocked and bootlegged towards his way, and I think that's an interesting choice for offenses because he is so long and so athletic that he is in that quarterback's face in a blink. It'll be interesting for him this year because he's a guy who needs the reps because he didn't have a lot of moves. He didn't have a lot of pass rush wins as like an outside edge pass rusher at Texas A&M. They just didn't let him really unleash himself too often. And we're still not seeing his hands win. There was a bunch of plays that, where the lineman just got his hand into Shamar Stewart's chest and stunned him and knocked him back a couple yards. And it's like, yeah, hopefully he'll get there. But as of right now, at the very least, he looks like a guy that can win with his length and his explosiveness and his raw strength because he's kind of a bull in a china shop out there, which is nice to have for for a guy that big and that athletic to just go in there and cause a little havoc.
Joe Goodberry on the Bengals. How big of a lift is it to get the defense to the middle of the pack from where they were?
I think it's a pretty big lift. They're banking on a lot of development. They spent a ton of draft picks on the defensive side. I think this is always the idea that, hey, we're going to pay Joe Burrow. We're going to pay Jamar Chase. Hopefully we can pay T. Higgins. And they ended up paying Mike Gesicki and Orlando Brown Jr. at left tackle. And they just picked up Noah Fant. They're real happy with Chase Brown on the offensive side. But the defense, they've just churned draft picks over there. And they're like, okay, we're going to replace Jesse Bates. We're going to replace DJ Reader. And the list goes on and on. And they just kept spending those picks on the defensive side, and none of them have really taken a step into being really good players. There's been guys that have had flashes, like Cam Taylor-Britt has had flashes, Dax Hill has flashed, Joseph Osai has flashed, but nobody has turned into, like, all right, this is a guy that's coming up on an extension at some point. Not a single player has. And I think that's the biggest reason why they let go of Lou Anarumo and brought in Al Golden from Notre Dame, is Golden sold them on the idea that, hey, I can get these guys playing and playing faster and playing better earlier in their careers. And for the Bengals, financially and cap-wise, once you're already paying all those stars on offense, you need these guys to hit on the defensive side. So I think it's a tough ask to say, all right, we need 8 of these guys to hit the ground running this year. It's not going to happen. At best, you get 4. You get half of those guys that you're just trying to plug and hope will become good starters. And if 4 of them do, I think, yeah, they can get to like 16 to 20. It can happen. But I still think it's a tall task for Al Golden and his staff. It's the most interesting part of the team, though. Which of these guys are going to step up? Which of the 8 that they're trying to figure out who can play these positions will become household names for Bengals fans?
Do you think that has to sink them or, you know, keep them from winning the division? Like, how much can they accomplish if the defense is still near the bottom of the league? Because last year they were that, and they missed the playoffs. But I don't know, Joe. Like, they also there's a missed 2-point conversion against Baltimore. There's the flag against Kansas City. There's the 1-yard line fumble against New England. Like, even though the defense was that bad, it still felt like they were 3 plays away from being in the playoffs and being the team no one wanted to see.
And Evan McPherson last year, the kicker, was not his normal self. He had a groin injury. They ended up putting him on IR with like 5 weeks to go. He looks, they're saying he looks much better. He went 2 for 2 last night, hit a 51-yarder. The ball looked straighter, cleaner, curved into the uprights. If he is his normal self from what we knew the previous few years, that's probably 2, maybe 3 wins as well. He missed some big kicks at the end of games last year. And they brought in a new long snapper. They got a competition there. So that might be a big thing. If that's fixed, if Joe Burrow starts the season hot, remember Jamar Chase was holding in last year. T. Higgins was missing time. He was practicing on Fridays, and there was 2 games where they had to pull him from the game plan on Friday or Saturday morning because he couldn't go due to soft tissue injuries, which, hey, they may continue. T doesn't play that often. But if the defense is still what they are and the other things go right for them that should and could go right just by flipping a coin and the randomness of the NFL, yeah, they can get to the playoffs. But I do believe they think they're a Super Bowl contending team. I saw the poll you guys put up on Twitter today, who's the next AFC team. I think it's clearly the Bengals. I think nobody wants to really play Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase when they're firing like that, even if the defense stinks. Even if you're like, man, we're going to put 34 up on this team. You got to think there's a chance the Bengals may put up 37 on you just because of this offense. When it's humming, it is one of the best in the league. So I still think they're that next team. I still think in their mind they think they are, and they're going to spend all year trying to get this defense right. Because maybe it's not right away, but maybe it's right in late November, December, January, and that's when you make your run, and that's when you're ready to go.
Can it be right without Trey Hendrickson?
No, it cannot. He's a top 5 pass rusher, and without him, they really don't have that consistent impact player. They don't have that star on the defensive side. They don't have anybody you really have to game plan for. He crashes everything. And even last year, like, they didn't have anyone else to game plan for. And you could see offenses. There were times Trey's getting triple teamed. There was one play in particular where he got triple teamed, still ended up with a sack because the coverage did their job. But when you see that, and you see him still end up with 17.5 stacks, still end up being a disruptor late in games or in big plays, big third down leverage situations, and he's still winning and getting there, he is impressive. I love watching Trey Hendrickson. He needs to be there. I think they're still trying. Him showing up to camp, him flying out to Philadelphia yesterday and being on the sidelines for the game, I think he's trying to show in good faith, like, hey, I'm still here. I still want this contract. They still want to sign him. It sounds like they're at maybe the 20-yard line. They need to get in the red zone, put this thing in the end zone, and close it out.
I like the yard line use because we're over here waiting for James Cook, and we've had a couple of insiders say the sides are not as far apart as some may think, and Diana Rossini even reported that James Cook's sitting out to try and get it across the goal line.
Tom Pelissero said it was fourth and goal on the one.
Right.
But that was a week ago, so fourth down means if you didn't convert, you turned it over.
They're in a replay review right now. They're having Steratore take a look at it. So there's a little delay here. So, Joe, thanks for the time. We'll talk again down the line. The Bills and Bengals play this year, and it's going to be a big one. We think like both teams are going to, if they're in the mix, it'll be a highly rated affair. And Bills fans, I mean, no matter how good the Bills are, until they beat Burrow, right? Until they show they can make the stops against him, I feel like he kind of lives over here a little bit as a boogeyman. Like we think about the Bengals, that Twitter poll you mentioned, they're winning it, and I think there's a lot of Burrow Chase fear phobia that's kind of there.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play them either, to be honest with you. And then for the reasons I mentioned, that offense just they can at any point score at any time and put up big numbers on you. Yeah, we'll see you guys in December. Probably talk to you around that time. And have a good morning, boys.
Very good. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Goodberry on the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't want to play him.
Well, you're gonna. You have to.
Well, like in the playoffs. I want to play.
Is that not?
I want to play New England in round one. I want to play the Texans in round. Wait, no, I don't want to play anyone in round one. Sorry.
Yeah, right.
No one in round one. Texans in round two.
Who are the Texans?
Chiefs in round three.
Who are the Texans?
That's my perfect
round. Who are the Texans beating in this scenario in the wild card round?
Steelers.
Oh, wow.
Or the Chargers.
Just go ahead and I'm going to write it in my calendar right now. Texans host Steelers Saturday, 3:30 p.m., right? On that's the AFC Invitational?
Actually, I think I have said I think Denver's going to win that division. If that happens, maybe it's Bills hosting Chiefs in round two.
Yeah, right.
Because the Chiefs would be the 5 seed going to play the AFC South winner. Must be nice for them. They finally don't win the division. They get to play like the Jaguars.
Would it be wrong to say Bills-Bengals will end up being the most anticipated game of the year on the schedule? Like, we have the Ravens in the opener on Sunday night. The Chiefs are here again. The Eagles are late. The Bengals. And it's
here.
It's here. And it's at a time of year where, you know, provided everybody's just going ahead and having a year and there's not something stupid happening. Like
Sunday at 4:25.
Sunday, 4:25, big window.
I think the opener has got to be number
Opener's
one.
Opener's more anticipated? Okay.
I think the opener number one and the Bengals. Yeah, I could get behind the Bengals game being number two, though.
Let me make the case for you in 30 seconds, 10 seconds. If the Bills lose to the Ravens, what will people say? Happened last year. Lost in the regular season, beat them in the playoffs. They lose to the Bengals. What do people say? You can't beat them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the team.
Yeah.
If you beat the Chiefs, what do people say? You beat them in the regular season all the time.
Right.
You can't beat them. Until they beat the Bengals, people will say, you can't beat them.
Yeah.
And that's why that phobia exists. They might have beat them in the Hamlin game. We only saw, you know, about a quarter of that one. But it looked like it was about to be a shootout. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Chris Brown, top of the hour, voice of the Bills, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bills, to preview tomorrow's Bills-Giants game and, of course, help us put a wrap on training camp, which they're back in Buffalo after wrapping things at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. So maybe you saw this, maybe you didn't. Credentialed sideline photographer Marshawn Lynch last night there for the Seattle and Vegas game.
I saw him there. I didn't know he was doing photography.
Not only did he do photography, there were two highlights, I think, where the play got close to him and he like stiff-armed the guy that was. He went beast mode. He's still going beast mode, but as a photographer. Yeah. Adam Schefter just posted the video. I retweeted it if you want to check it out. I'm sending it to my text club here. Like, here's the Seahawks guy scores a touchdown and kind of rolls on Lynch and gets this fierce elbow in the back.
Like forearm.
Who's,
yeah.
Who's
forearm
that?
Elbow. Yeah.
Forearm elbow. Bam. Who's that? Oh, that's Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. He was not about to get run over
right?
by this guy. There was no way.
Beast mode. So anyway,
these athletes becoming photographers. Ken Griffey Jr. is a photographer, right? Didn't he take the picture of Rory winning the Masters? Yes.
Randy Johnson, yes. Ken Griffey Jr., Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Interesting.
Let's get them a Netflix show or something, you know? Follow them around. Former athlete becomes photographer.
Turned photographer. Yeah.
What would they call it?
I mean, really, anything involving Marshawn Lynch as a show is probably going to be a good show.
Yes, it would be interesting. Chris Brown joins us when we return. Bills and Giants tomorrow. It's going to be hot tomorrow.
Yeah.
For this game. Temperatures expected to be near 90, so hydrate. Plan accordingly. It will be hot. Real feel, punch this up very quickly. By the time at the game, you're looking at 85, creeping up to 90 while you're out there. So, no canopy, not yet. Jeremy and Joe, Chris Brown joins us next.